Well, Happy New Year, just in case nobody said it to you yet. Saw a recent article that listed five most popular resolutions every year. The fifth was to take up a new hobby. The fourth was to make more money. Well, that's one we'd all like, right? The third most popular resolution was to improve relationships, maybe in a particular area, but improve relationships. The second was to stop smoking. And the most popular New Year's resolution is lose weight. How did y'all know? Isn't that amazing? Well, one woman walked in to the bathroom. She found her husband standing on the scales, and he was sucking his stomach in. She said, "That doesn't do any good." He said, "It sure does. It's how I see the numbers." It's funny because a lot of us know exactly what that's like, right? But a new year is a time for reflection and a time also for new beginnings. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for each person that's here today. And I thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Lord that's in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Lord, that we never take it lightly, but always as it is, the living word of God that speaks to our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that today we might be challenged and inspired through your word, that we might live differently because of having heard your word. Lord, I ask you, use me today. Speak through me. And I pray that each person will hear what you desire to speak to their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about refocusing. The message title is just simply refocus. But as I said, as we begin a new year, it is a great time to reflect on the past, to look back, to see where we've been, where we've come from. And you know what? Sometimes I think we need to do that not only personally, but as a church. Sometimes it's good to look back over past victories and the battles, the struggles that we've been through. And then also, though, to see the great victories that God has brought us to and how that God has been with us through difficult times. And you might look back over the past year and see some hurt, see some failures, even things that you'd like to forget. And you know what? This is a great time to put those things behind, to learn from them, amen, but to put those things behind and move forward to new things. I want you to know that I pastor a great church. I'm talking about you. Listen, when I say church, I'm talking about people. I pastor great people. This is a great church, and I feel so blessed to be the pastor of Grace Church. This is an exciting time for Grace Church because we are looking forward this morning at a great year. You know, a new year is a time of new beginnings. It's new opportunities. It gives us cause to refocus on the things that are really important. I see God's faithfulness to this church over the years. That over and over again, God has used this church to change the lives of many people. And I've seen how that God has brought us through so many transitions and now brought us to a great place, a great opportunity as we look forward to this coming year. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Paul says, "Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Don't live in the past. Sometimes we learn from the past and we reflect on the past, but Paul says, "This one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind." You know, some people live so much in the past that it cripples them and keeps them from reaching forward to the things that God has for them now. And I just want to encourage you as individuals and also as a church. Church, we need to refocus, and we need to refocus on the future. Listen, we can learn from the past, but we got to focus on what God wants to do now and where God wants to take us now. Listen, he said, forgetting the things that are behind, reaching forward to the things that are ahead. This is an exciting time. I'm telling you, we are going to build a new building. Now, well, I got one amen. That's exciting. I'm just telling you, it's exciting. And, you know, of all the transitions and changes and things we've been through, this is a fun one. Change is not always fun, but this is a fun one. Now, I know it scares some people because they say, building? I don't want to be in a building program. I've never been in a building program. I've been in a church where we built a building before, but I don't know anything about all this program bit and where, you know, you're going to get letters in the mail about. Listen, nobody's going to try to get any money out of your pocket. I'm just telling you right now, as the pastor of this church, that we don't ever want you to give anything that you don't want to. Now, if you have to give something you don't want to, that's between you and God. That's a problem you and God got, all right? Because I'm never going to ask you to give anything that you don't want to give. So nobody needs to have this attitude. I kind of got that from a few people a couple of times. Visitors that were scared because we were going to build a building. Y'all are going to build a building? I'm telling you, it's an exciting thing. And we need to be just pumped and ready to go, church. I'm telling you, God is going to help us do that. It's not a hard thing. It's a good thing. But I also want to say this, though. That is not our vision. It is actually a byproduct of our vision. Because our vision is all about people. The building is just a byproduct that we want to reach people. And we believe that we are at the right place and the right time, that God is going to use that as we continue to grow. Listen, you reach a place where you plateau in growth if you don't make room for more. And church, it's time for us to do that. And I'm excited about that. But I want you to understand that where we really need to focus this morning is on our vision. That we need to refocus on our vision. Here is our vision: to reach this generation. It is to reach people by making disciples through personal relationships and strong children and youth ministries. Now, let me tell you about our youth ministry. We are averaging about 200 here between the two services each Sunday. We average around 200. And on Wednesday night, our youth service, they average about 50. That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. That's not a big wing ding, you know, they don't have Bobo and the Dancing Bear in there. It's not some big party. It is a service where they have worship and preaching and an altar call. And that, did you know that is the biggest event they do? They have fellowships of all kinds, but that's the biggest, they get the biggest turnout for their service. I'm pretty impressed by that as a pastor. I'm just telling you, that's an awesome thing. I mean, I've known youth pastors and seen it done where they get a big crowd out because they make some big flash and some big party thing they're doing, and it's so woohoo fun. Listen, we got 50 kids just coming to worship God and hear the Word. That is exciting. And so, you know, I just want to say that, man, we are so on target there. Right now, most of you know, our children's pastor's resigned. He's pursuing a different career in ministry. But you know what? I really believe that it's just God, that it's just time, and that God is bringing us into a new era in our children's ministry. And I really believe this. Listen, I don't do this thing where I hype stuff. I'm telling you, I really believe this, that God has taken our children's ministry to another level. In fact, I believe that it's going to be so good that some of you, your kids are going to force you to come to church. They're not going to let you stay home. And by the way, we're going to teach them to not allow you to drop them off either. But where I want to really focus this morning, I really believe this is what the Lord has given me for this first Sunday of the year, this day, is that we refocus on this part of our vision, that we make disciples through personal relationships. I want you to understand that is the biblical pattern.
There's not much real discipleship that takes place from a pulpit, because most of it has to be caught, not just taught. You see, Jesus had a lot of followers, but he had 12 that he poured his life into. Jesus, the Son of God. Couldn't he have handled at least a couple of hundred? No, he had 12 that he poured his life into, and they turned the world upside down. And I just want you to understand that there's a lot of ministry, a lot of discipleship that has to take place through personal relationships on a personal level. We need to refocus, to focus on the vision of this church. Need to realize how important relationships are. Listen, in the kingdom of God, it's all about relationships. It's about a relationship with God. But it's also about a relationship with other believers. We are part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says it very plainly that no part of the body can say to any other part of the body, I don't need you. You see, in America, we are taught this individualism, this independence and even isolationism where I don't need anybody else. And especially when it comes to spiritual things, you know, we're just on our own, you know, find your own way kind of thing. But that's not scriptural. It's not biblical. And it's not how discipleship takes place. No, we need those relationships with one another. The Bible says that as iron sharpens iron, so is a man with his friend. We need those kinds of relationships that challenge us and help us, that help us to grow in the Lord. But I want you to understand this morning that in reaching the lost, in reaching our generation, there are so many who are unchurched, who need to be discipled. And we have to have relationships with those people. Now, I use the term unchurched instead of lost, just because, you know, in our generation, sometimes people don't really catch exactly what you're talking about when you say lost. And that is the more biblical term. But especially here in the Bible Belt, there are so many people who consider themselves Christian. In fact, probably 90% of the people you talk to consider themselves to be a Christian. Even though they may not go to church, they may not serve the Lord in any way, they may not really have committed their life to the Lord. Maybe at some time they did. Maybe at some time they went to church. May have been 30 years ago. And so when I say unchurched, I'm talking about both those who have never known the Lord, but also about those who just are out of church and not really walking with the Lord and not involved in the body of Christ and not really being used of God. And I'm telling you, we need to have a relationship. We need to be reaching out to those people. We certainly want to reach the lost, the person that's never known the Lord, but we also want to reach that person that's out of fellowship with the Lord. And you know, scripturally, the Bible actually refers to those people as lost. He talks about that sheep that's strayed away, and you leave the 99 and go after that one that's lost. Why? Why is it that so many people are out of church? They say that on any given Sunday, the statistics say that 40% of Christians will say that they're in church, 40%. But they also say the real statistic, not what they say, but what's really happening, is it's closer to 26% of Christians are in church on any given Sunday. And why is that? That there's so many people who are Christians, and yet they're not involved in church, and not involved in ministry, not involved in God's work. Well, a lot of them are just like that lamb that just kind of strayed away. They just drifted off, and it wasn't any big event or anything that got them out of church. They just, over time, missed a week here and a week there and got out of relationship with people. They made friends or had friends that were not Christian friends, and somehow or another, they just ended up out of church. And you know, those are the easiest to bring back because many times all they need is some encouragement and somebody to help them along the way. But you know, what I find as pastor is that most of the time when people are out of church, those that used to go to church, something happened. They were hurt somehow. There was some kind of disappointment. There were some events or some relationships that went bad. But however it happened, there's some kind of hurt there. And I just want you to understand that anytime there's been hurt and disappointment like that, it takes time. Trust has to be rebuilt. And the only way that can happen is through relationships. It's not going to happen because we sent out a pretty flyer. No, it has to happen on a personal level where people build relationships and people reach out to them. Some people just find church to be unnecessary. They say, well, I got my relationship with God, that's all that matters. Let me tell you something. We need to show them. We need to show them how important having a church family is. We need to show them how special it is to be able to share your sorrows and joys with brothers and sisters in the Lord. We need to show them how wonderful it is to have a body of believers who's there for you, to encourage you, to support you, to pray for you. We need to show them how meaningful it is to be able to do life together with other believers that are bear your burden, and you help them and bear their burdens. That's the way it's supposed to be. We need to refocus on what's really important as a church. Our goal is changed lives. This is not maintenance ministry. This is not keeping the saints satisfied. This is about Jesus' mission. This is about why He came. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Church, that's what we're about. That's what we want to refocus on today, is reaching people. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. Now, the reason it says tax collectors, He's letting you know that the worst of the worst were there. Could have just said sinners, right? I mean, wouldn't that include the tax collectors? But that just took it to a whole nother level. In that day and time, that culture, the tax collectors were the worst. And He says all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. Isn't that amazing? Well, not everybody was excited about it. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Terrible. He eats with these sinners. When is the last time that you ate with some sinners? I'm not talking about your spouse. We got all kinds of goofy answers in the first service. I'm just saying. But anyway, I'm not talking about your in-laws either. Don't go there. But seriously, Jesus ate with sinners. And yet for most church people, especially for us who are in church every Sunday and we've been in church for many years, it's easy for us to get to the place where we eat with our family and we eat with our good close friends, and that's it. And that's not the way Jesus was. He ate with the disciples, but He also included sinners and tax collectors. And people talked about it. Church, we need to refocus. I know that most of you know, but I still want to clarify. I'm not talking about that you're going to go hang out with a bunch of sinners. And you know, listen, I've seen a lot of lives destroyed because they went the wrong direction. I'm talking about ministry. I'm not talking about you hanging out trying to be cool. You know, some Christians get this idea, well, yeah, I'm going to go hang out at the bar and show them how to live. No, you're not. Quit playing games. I'm talking about sincere believers who want to help people. Jesus was always the influencer. He was always the one who was reaching out and ministering to people. He wasn't just there to be cool. No, he was there to help people. He was there to see lives changed. And I'm talking about that we need to eat with sinners. Now, let me just clarify what I'm talking about. They may be lost people who don't know the Lord at all or don't even believe in God. But a lot of the time, they're going to be people who consider themselves Christians. They just don't really know the Lord in a personal way. They don't have what you have. They don't have that closeness with God. They don't have a church family. They don't have a pastor. I'm telling you, we need to reach out to those people. We need to be willing to have dinner with those people. Not separate ourselves from those people, but love those people. Verse 3, he says, "So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." And here's what Jesus says very plainly, that we can all get together for church, and I'm sure it makes the Lord happy when we come to church and we worship Him, but what really gets heaven excited is when there's one person brought back into relationship with Him. Now, that's what's important to God. Shouldn't that be what's important to His people? What's important to the child of God? Shouldn't that be where our focus is? If that's where His focus is, shouldn't that be our focus? And I'm telling you, church, we need to refocus on what's really important. He said, "I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Why did He come? To seek and to save that which was lost. Now, you don't get that if you listen to a lot of the TV preaching today. That's not what you get if you look at the behavior and the activity of most believers. But this is why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. We're living in a day where the church culture says it's all about me. It's all about me being healthy and wealthy and getting my way and what I want. It's about me, me, and more me. Jesus came to give me what I want. There's a gospel. That's not the gospel. That's not why He came. Now, I want to tell you this. He came to give us abundant life. He said, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." But most Christians aren't really experiencing abundant life. They just have a Christian form of the rat race. Listen, Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you lose it. If you make it about me and what I want, I'm telling you, lose. But when you give that up, He said, when you give your life, when you lose your life for my sake and the gospel, He says, then you find life. And I'm telling you, church, you will never regret putting aside your personal wants in order to do something for God. He'll make it up to you and then some. He said, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll add all these other things to you. But we get to where so often we're too much like the world, running after this and after this and after that, instead of fulfilling the call of God and what God wants us to do. And that's why I'm preaching this message this morning, church. We just got to refocus on what's really important. That's where you find the greatest fulfillment in life, is when we fulfill His will and His purpose in our lives. Heaven gets excited about one life being restored in relationship to the Father. Now, I'm just telling you, we need to realize what's important. You know how you can tell what's important to somebody? What they get excited about. This is what heaven is excited about. People being restored in relationship to God. Church, that's what we're excited about. Seeing people restored in their relationship to God. That's what we're excited about. Some of you, I'm saying that to you by faith. That's what you're excited about. I'm just telling you. There's nothing like that. Seeing people's lives change. That's exciting. It's not just about me and what I want. No, no, it's about reaching people. And when we let God use us that way, I'm telling you, that is exciting. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 2, in the NIV, it puts it this way. It says that he welcomed sinners. What an accusation. But Jesus made them feel welcome. He didn't make them feel uncomfortable. You see, Jesus wasn't hitting them up with his doctrine. He wasn't just preaching at these people. He had dinner with them. He fellowshipped with them. He loved them. He cared for them. And I want you to hear this. We need to invite people to our home. We need to go out to eat with people. We need to take time to talk to people, to really get to know people. They don't know, they don't care what you know till they know you care. I know it's just one of those cliches, but I'm telling you, it's right. You need to know this. They got to know you care. You can't just preach at people. If you're going to help anybody, you got to care about them. Jesus ate with people. So here's my challenge to you today. It's very simple. This is something that every person can do. I'm telling you, there's not one person in here that's so introverted that you don't have some influence. In fact, I found that sometimes people that are quiet and introverted have great influence because when they do talk, people really listen to them. And I just want you to know, every person in here, see, I'm not asking you to go stand on the street corner and hand out tracts. There might be some that have that gift. Lord bless them. I don't have it. How about you? And I'm glad I don't have to do that. I'm glad that's somebody else's call. But I'm talking about something that every person in here can do. You can reach out to other people in personal relationships. You can let people know that you care about them. You can take the time. In fact, you can include them with your group. You can include them with your family. You can include them with your close friends. You know, it is an amazing thing to me. We need to be doing this in our personal relationships outside of the church. But it is so wonderful when God just brings people into our church. Some of them just because they saw the sign, or maybe they found our website, or maybe somebody invited them, but they show up here. What an awesome thing that somehow the Holy Spirit has gotten them here. There's a hunger there. There's something there. There's an opportunity. And church, we can't miss that. But where we so often miss it, is that we don't really make a connection with those people and build relationships with those people. Church, we can do that. We just have to be willing to eat with those people. Oh man, this is one of those messages. That's just a little too simple. I mean, that just hits home a little too hard because we all know we can do that. I'm just going to share with you from my heart some this morning. It's kind of weird how this message came about. You know, we get them all kinds of ways. I had two messages last year where I sat in my office and I wrote for 45 minutes straight. Easiest two messages. It happened on Wednesday night, two Wednesdays in a row. I wrote, it was like the Lord dictated to me. But you know, it almost never happens that way. I mean, the next week, you know, the third week, after the week after that, I was like, okay, Lord, let's do that again. It didn't happen. Just telling you, but this message, it just kind of came about in a weird way, but it's just stuff that God had put on my heart, and not just this week, but for months, and I just going to share with you from my heart a little bit. So I just want you to understand this, that this has happened to me, that in the last 3 years, of course, we've had quite a few new people come into the church, and Carmen can tell you this. I've talked to her many, many times about this, but two of the best friends I've ever had in my whole entire life. I'm 53 years old, and two of the very best friends I've ever had came to the church in the last 3 years. Didn't even know them before that. And I'm just saying to you that God is bringing some wonderful people into our church. And we need to be reaching out to those people and getting to know those people, building relationships. And I'm also going to tell you that Jesus had 12. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm not sure I can have 12. What I'm saying to you is that I love everybody. I can't be close to everybody. It takes all of us. You see, there are people that you can reach I could never reach. There are people that you can build relationships with I could never. But it takes all of us doing it together. And I believe that every person that God brings by here, church, we need to reach out to them. We need to do what it's necessary to make a connection. What's really important? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He gives us this commission that we're to make disciples. You know, that word commission, I like it too. If you just put a little hyphen in there, it's not just a commission, it's a co-mission. That Jesus does it with us. He said, I'll be with you to the end of the age. He's with us. But we do have a mission. He helps us to do it. We can't do it without Him. But church, we got to be willing to do it. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to be kicking off a semester of small groups. And I just want to encourage you. It is a great way for us to develop relationships with other people. You know, I see in the body of Christ a lot of times where people are content to just not even have relationships with others. And they may come every Sunday, and yet they don't have any relationships with other people. And I just want to encourage you that that's not really God's way. That's not really what the Bible talks about. And I realize that it might be kind of the American way, but we need each other. And you might say, oh, I don't need it. Listen, there are people that need you. Sometimes it's easy for us in church to get to the place where we have little association with people outside of church. But we just need to see that God brings them across our path for a reason. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, it was a strange thing. She was a Samaritan woman. Two things wrong there. One, she's a Samaritan. And the Jews looked at Samaritans as very unspiritual people. People that were unclean, that they just wouldn't have anything to do with. But also, she was a woman. And yet, Jesus goes out of His way to talk to this woman, to minister to her. How about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' house? Zacchaeus, the tax collector who stole from people. Don't you know that made some good people mad? I mean, how would you like it if your pastor was going over to the house to eat with some guy who stole a bunch of money from you? Wouldn't that make you mad? But something happened to Zacchaeus. There's no evidence that Jesus preached to him. But something happened on the inside of him. And Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. And Zacchaeus says, if I've taken from anyone wrongfully, I will restore it fourfold. How did that happen? Jesus just went to eat with him. And I'm just telling you that a lot of the time where we're missing it is we don't take the time to really develop relationships to people and reach out to people that way. You know, there are always going to be these events like there was on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people get saved. Isn't that an awesome thing? And I know there are people that get saved from Christian TV. But I'm telling you that statistically, the vast majority, almost everyone, comes to the Lord through some kind of personal relationship. Someone they know brings them to the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, refocus on relationships, not just your family and your close friends, but refocus on relationships with others who need the Lord, who are not in church, not in the place they ought to be with God. Refocus on those people. I want to share with you a couple of just very personal illustrations this morning. When I was growing up, I always considered myself to be a Christian. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I believed in God, believed in Jesus, I mean, in that sense, I was raised in a Christian home. I mean, I thought everybody was a Christian. This is America. I mean, it's, you know, I didn't know any better. I just thought everybody was a Christian. And I grew up thinking that way. But as I got older, like so many, I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. And my life just became a mess. And it was at that point that an elderly Christian woman, a Christian grandmother, began to share the Lord with me. And she invited me to pray a sinner's prayer. And I did. And I was sincere as I prayed that prayer and turned my life over to the Lord. But I really didn't know anything about serving God or living for God. She invited me to church, and I went to this big church that was there in town, and I saw a lot of young people from my school, and none of them spoke to me, and I wasn't offended by that. That was normal. I mean, I didn't think anything about it. I didn't expect them to speak to me. But I also didn't think that I needed to go back. I didn't see the need to go back to that church. So I went on with my life about 6 months, just, you know, not really any big change in my life, even though I had prayed that sinner's prayer. Wasn't really serving God, didn't really turn my life over. I mean, I prayed the prayer, but I just didn't really know how. And then one night at a Friday night football game, I met a young lady. The next Monday at school, she invited me to come to church. She just said, "Hey, I want you to come to my church." I said, "Okay." I started going to that church and everything changed. Now, I want to explain that. I want to talk about that in just a minute. But first, I want to just throw in a side note here for our young people and maybe some of our other singles. Missionary dating almost always does more harm than good. And I just want to give a case in point. I could give you 100 examples of this, and that's not an exaggeration, but just case in point, that young lady that invited me to church, we never dated. She invited me as a friend. She ended up dating my best friend, who was also unchurched, and he never turned his life over to the Lord. But here's what happened to me. I got involved with these young people serving God, and you know what? If I didn't come to church, somebody was calling me. What is wrong today where people drop out of church and nobody even knows? How is that happening? It's because we don't have the relationships we're supposed to have. We don't even realize somebody's not here till sometime down the road. Oh yeah, we're so and so. Church, we're supposed to be connected to one another. But when I started going to this church, there were people who cared about me. They ate with me. They involved me with their group. They considered me part of them. Are y'all getting this at all? Church, this is how it has to be. That we involve people, we call people, we keep up with people. You say, "Oh, well, that's the pastor's job." Do you know that most people, when I call them, they just think, "Well, that's the pastor doing his job." But when you call them, they think, you know what, they actually care about me. And I'm just saying, church, we need to build those kinds of relations. Let me give you one more example. And it's amazing that it took me over 20 years of ministry to learn this, considering how I really got committed. And let me just back up and say one more thing about me really turning my life over to the Lord. I don't believe that I would be here today serving God as a spirit-filled man, a pastor of a church, married to this fantastic woman over here, if there wasn't a teenage girl who said, "Hey, I want you to come to my church," and then a group of people who cared enough about me to involve me, to invite me, to keep calling me. I mean, they expected me to be at everything. Are you hearing me? I wouldn't be here serving the Lord, on fire for God, if it wasn't for that. Now, it took me about 20 years to understand what had happened then, but in my last youth ministry, I really got a hold of this principle because I taught my youth group to be friendly. I said, "Man, it's so important. You got to be friendly. You got to be friendly." And this is a friendly church. We are friendly. But let me tell you where we're missing it, where we really need to refocus. It's not enough just to be friendly. We got to be friends. There's a big difference. There's a big difference than, "Hello, hey, we're glad you're here. We'll shake your hand. Okay, I got to go be with my good friends." That doesn't work. So in my last youth ministry, I taught the kids to be friendly, and I would even have parents of new teenagers call me, and they would say, "Oh, the young people are so friendly. We love it there because our kids feel so welcome." 6 weeks later, they didn't even come anymore. And it just blew me. I was like, what is going on? And it finally dawned on me. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit just sometimes has to work extra hard to get something through, you know, and not like Peter with the vision. But anyway, I finally got it. I finally understood that though they were being friendly, they weren't really making friends. It's not enough just to say hello. It's not enough to just smile and shake their hand. Oh, that's a great beginning. But it has to go to the next level. And so I had a group of leaders that we began to just go out of our way. If a young person showed up, man, our other young people would have them come sit with them. They'd say, come to us, come with us to the fellowship. They acted like they were one of their friends. Listen, I'm just being real honest with you this morning. This is a whole lot easier to do with teenagers than it is adults. Because, see, for some of you, you're like, you're so set in your ways. And I know I'm right there with you, but I'm telling you, we got to refocus. We're still set in our ways. We got our habits and our patterns, and we eat with our family. We do this and we do this, and this is what we do. I want to mess you up today. Because we need to change. We need to be more effective at reaching people. And God brings people into our midst, and a lot of times we miss it because we don't build those relationships. And so I'm challenging you today, refocus on what's really important. I see it in the Scripture. This was the pattern. It's even the pattern in the New Testament church. They went from house to house. How are we not doing that, church? It doesn't work to get together for a service a week, much less a service every 2 or 3 weeks. We're supposed to be getting together, having fellowship, breaking bread together, praying for each other, help. No wonder so many Christians are hurting and going through such trouble in their life. They're trying to do it all on their own. We're supposed to be together, church, supporting one another, devoted to one another. And I just challenge you today, let's refocus. Stand with me. We're going to pray. Lord Jesus, I just ask you this morning that this word would get down in our hearts, Lord, that we'll not be able to get away from it. But Lord, we'll just be changed by it. And I pray, Father, that in this body of believers, there'll just be a new joy, Lord, about reaching people, a new excitement about you working through us and touching the lives of other people. And Father, I ask you for that. And I pray, Father, that would just burn in our hearts in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for that one who is out of relationship with you this morning. Lord, they strayed away, however it happened, Lord, but they're not where they ought to be. Father, I pray that today they just be restored. I pray for those, Lord, that are here at church but are disconnected. Lord, I just pray they'll find relationships here in the body that are meaningful, that will help them, Lord, help them through life. And Father, I pray for all of us that there be a fresh burden, vision for the lost and for those that are unchurched, out of relationship, those that are hurting and those that are trying to do it on their own. Help us, Lord, to reach out to them in Jesus' name. Amen. I want some prayer partners to come to the front here. And as we close this service today, I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. I really believe that there are some of you that have come to this service this morning, and you know that in your heart you are not really where you ought to be with God. And I'm going to tell you that is the first and foremost relationship that you need to refocus on. It's time to refocus on your relationship with God. And if that's you, don't leave this morning until you do that. Make it a prayer of commitment. Just refocus in your personal relationship with God. And there's some of you here, though, that even though you're here and you're part of the church, you know that you haven't really been involved You haven't really been involved with other people. And you need to make a change. You need to make a commitment and just be willing to turn that over to God. Say, Father, I'll do that. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do that, Father. And some of you, I believe the Lord spoke to your heart that you need to make a real change in reaching out to other people. It may cost you. It may be a personal sacrifice. But God will more than make it up to you. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. Amen. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, I just encourage you, this prayer time is for any that want to come. Maybe you have a physical need in your body or a financial need. Maybe your family's going through a difficult time. Any prayer need that you have, you're welcome to come and join us here. And just don't leave here carrying it on your own. Let somebody pray with you. Amen. Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you want prayer, you come.